All right.
Are you on?
Press the button.
Yeah.
That's what we're in there today. Oh, let's see. Wow, thank you so much for having us over this morning. It's just been Sheffield, I've been here for a little while. I'm from Pennines.
Proper side.
Yeah. Sarah, my wife, is from this side.
Oh, good.
So, my dad and his side of the family are from the other side as well. I know. But they realised the error when they just called me. This side, so the reason I'm with the villains, but I'm now back up north, which is good. I'm Steve, I'm married to Sarah. Gideon, Caleb, and Judah brought us here this morning. And as Andy was saying, I head up the Eden Network along with Sarah. As of tomorrow, she's back at work. So we're going to share that role, and we are head of the Eden Network, which I'm going to tell you a little bit about in a little moment. And we're based in Manchester. We have a Yorkshire Message Pub over here in Sheffield. But it's so good to be with you this morning, especially on such a momentous weekend for the whole nation as we live through some historic times with the sad death of the Queen. The start of a new reign. On Thursday, I was in London. I was visiting some things, got to see the Cabinet, which is kind of looking celebrated. It's like Far East London, and then Girdle Road, which is Far West London. So I spent a lot of time on the Elizabeth Line. Very nice. So I was thinking about the Queen Thursday morning before we found out the news. People were actually starting to talk about what was going on and whether this was their time. And then as I got the train home, we heard the news as we set off from the train driver, and it's very quiet. Trains were like reflecting, and obviously thinking about what this meant to them, their families, and all kinds of things. But I don't know about you or how you think of the monarchy. In our
family, there's some differences. Sarah's first Christmas with my side of the family was, she got a bit twitchy around 3 o'clock and was like, when's the TV going on? So we're ready. And my dad looked at her and was like, is she joking? And said, I'm sorry, that doesn't happen in our house. So I think we made some changes, but then on Sarah's side, very different. But everyone I've spoken to or heard from on the press and the news only has good things to say about the Queen, and especially about her faith. And how she reflected Jesus really in the only way that she could, and just served the nation. People talk about how she met so many different people and the stories that are coming out, the personal stories where she kind of removed herself from her position to meet with people face to face are quite moving. And someone said, as I was listening to news, that she was comfortable in her own skin. I just thought that was a good phrase. And I was thinking about on the way down to London on Thursday morning, I had a different experience. There was someone in my seat, so I did the British thing and complained internally. And then I went and sat with a whole bunch of kind of early 20s, all in their suits, heading off to London, to the big central office where they're all going to be giving presentations. It felt very much like I was stuck in an episode of The Apprentice. They were boisterous, there was some hilarity, someone had fallen asleep, someone had taken a photo, shared it across the whole Manchester office, and they were having fun. But then behind that, there's some kind of competition. They're kind of jostling for position, they're trying to work out where they fit within this group. And a guy behind me, someone had found a photo of him as a skateboarder a few years before, and they were kind of ribbing him about that. And I just felt a bit sad listening to him. He said, oh, yeah, I kind of realized I needed to sort my life out and got rid of all that stuff because I'm now a project manager. And I was thinking, I'm sure he could be a project manager and still enjoy skateboarding. But there's some kind of conforming going on. They weren't comfortable in their own skin. They were trying to work out their place in the world and what it meant to look like a business person, like a successful one. Despite their appearance and their confidence and the way they talked, there was that kind of underlying uncertainty and needing to change to fit in. The church where we're part of in Manchester, started in 1983, me and Sarah. We've been there a while, but when it started, it kind of the person who started the church founded it realized that a lot of the working people in South Manchester, where the church is, didn't feel comfortable going to the parish church where the masters, the employers, the mill owners went. They didn't have the right clothes, the expensive clothes, didn't speak the same way, they didn't have the same kind of culture, and they didn't feel like they fitted in. 100 years later, our church has changed, and it's thriving, it's a great place to be, but it's changed, and it's predominantly, within the wider church, is predominantly middle class, and people around where we live on our estate, quite a lot of them don't feel like they fit in to some of our services that we run, and there's kind of, they either avoid some of those things, or they feel like they have to change to be able to fit in, and hopefully Eden is something that changes that, which I'll touch on in a moment. But the whole point of Eden is really helping that a reverse, where we see across the country, it's so encouraging to be here, right in the middle of Jordanthorpe in the shopping precinct, because most churches that are doing well, that have the resources, that are growing, are in the suburbs, where wealthier people live. And I believe it's something that Jesus tried to flip upside down when he was with us on earth, when he came as a helpless baby, when he was a refugee, someone who had nowhere to lay his head, from a place no one expected anything good to come from. And it's why he chose mainly disciples who weren't educated, and went to people and places other people didn't even consider going to and speaking to, like the woman at the well or the demoniac in the tombs. He was a friend of sinners and outcasts, and he was mocked and labelled a glutton and a drunkard. And he spoke differently to those he met with, depending on where they fitted. The educated, the leaders, those with power, he challenged. He challenged them through his actions, through his parables, through his questions. He kind of asked them to let go of their power, to step down. And to the poor, he encouraged, he lifted them up, and the children. I watched King Charles's proclamation ceremony yesterday, and I was thinking, did Jesus do anything like this? And the closest thing I could come to was in Luke 4, verse 16, when he's in Nazareth in the synagogue. It says, Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as he usually did. He stood up to read, and the scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. Jesus unrolled it and found the right place. There it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has anointed me to announce good news to the poor. He has sent me to announce freedom for prisoners. He has sent me so that the blind will see again. He wants me to set free those who are treated badly. And he has sent me to announce the year when he will set his people free. Then Jesus rolled up the scroll. He gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were staring at him. He began by saying to them, today, this passage of scripture is coming true as you listen. Somewhat different proclamation that Jesus carried out, that changed everything forever. And as we follow Jesus and obey his great commandment, these are the things that he's calling us into as well. From being a young boy myself and hearing stories, I had a family friend who moved to the Easter House scheme in Glasgow, reading adventures of other people who followed Jesus. It was clear to me as a really young boy that places like Jordanthorpe is where Jesus would hang out. This is where he'd spend a lot of his time. People are here, other people he'd want to be around. And history shows from biblical times up until now that moves of God that change nations start in the margins. And this is where I feel Eden has a small part to play. Eden was born out of a message, trust. I think we've got some slides somewhere. And the message has now been going 30 years. It started as a message to schools, where Andy Hawthorne and others saw many young people respond to Jesus and the gospel and then realized the churches weren't ready. Oh, sorry, I was going to have a bit of this. And there were some churches that just didn't even want to engage with these young people who were a bit rough around the edges. And for many, there wasn't even a church near them that they could be a part of. So the first Eden team was started. That's it. There you go, thank you. Back in 1997, that's when Tony Blair became Prime Minister. Full Monty was released. And at that time, one of the toughest areas of Manchester, Bench Hill, and that's where the first team started. A lot of people moved to the area, other people came to faith, and they were salt and light in that community and made a lot of mistakes, learned a lot since then and continue to learn a lot. And the message has grown as well. It's expanded to do lots of creative mission with bands in schools, prison ministries. We have something called Advance, which is now in 100 nations, training and sending out evangelists. There's Christ-centered enterprises, community groceries in the last few years, and all kinds of things I probably don't even know about. And we do this across different parts of the UK and through our hubs and overseas as well, in South Africa, Canada, Germany, and more to come. But the Eden Network sits underneath the message, and we've grown over the years and learned, as I said. You can imagine knock-on effect from COVID, churches, especially our types of churches that we work with, and our communities have struggled and are struggling. At the moment, we currently have 30 teams around the UK, and we have a number overseas as well. And we're 25 years old this year. And we continue to cheer each other on across the nation and overseas. So I'm going to quickly tell you, if it's okay, a little bit about the model of Eden, how it looks, how it works. But before I do that, we have got a video. It's a short one, which hopefully gives you a little bit of a taste, a flavour of what Eden is.
One of the things that I love about Eden, it keeps you grounded. It keeps you on a proper adventure.
I really felt called into the position to just do life together with people on the estate, just to go on a journey.
I think for me, like, being authentic community is just loving the area that you live in.
We live here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is our home.
Sometimes on a normal Sunday in church, a third of the people there will be under 18, and it'll be the kids we've got to know from the community. And it's changing the dynamic of the church.
We're gaining as much from the community as what I feel like we're giving out.
Sharing my faith, sharing the gospel, just build that sense of community that has been lost.
People hope for a brighter future.
We're so excited that in a few years' time, we know that some people we work with now are going to be the leaders. And they're going to be the people helping the church from this community.
That's ending sooner than it does. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of a flavour. All Eden teams look and feel, they smell different. They're shaped by God, the church they're part of, the community and the team. But we all have the same heart and passion and guiding principles to see transformation through the kingdom growing in our communities. And we talk about Eden being based on gospel and sacrifice and community. One of my favourite quotes states that there's no poverty where you find authentic Jesus-centered community. And one of our five favorite Bible passages, which I think we've got a slide for, is Ezekiel 36, verse 35, which says, "They will say, 'This land that was laid waste has become like the Garden of Eden. The cities that were lying in ruins, desolate and destroyed, are now fortified and inhabited.'" And this is kind of what we want to see, Jesus changing our communities from the inside out. And to make that happen, we have five cornerstones that all Eden teams adhere to and five distinctives that help kind of shape what an Eden team looks like. The first one is that we're rooted in local church. So our Eden teams are all part of the same local church, and they serve there. They're part of the body. Each team is led by a team leader, and that person would be employed by their local church and be on the staff there. We have our homes in the heart of the community. So we our teams, our core teams, live in a defined area. So for Sarah and I, our estate's called Merseybank. And we've been there now 10 years. Our kids go to a local primary school. We've got a little cafe on the estate, and we're in out of each other's homes and chatting to people on the street and getting sucked into all kinds of exciting adventures. So our hearts are in the home, our homes are in the heart of the community. Our hearts are in the community too, and our focus is in the bottom 10% in terms of deprivation. That doesn't mean Jesus doesn't love everyone else, but it's because a lot of people don't want to live in these places or don't want to serve there or trying to escape, and we want to be serving these places. We have a focus on young people. Eden kind of started out mainly as a youth ministry. We do much more than that now. We want to reach the whole fabric of our neighborhoods, but we still want to have a focus on young people because we know how important they are. They're the gateways to their families, and quite often they're the hardest to love, but they're also the most rewarding. And as well as that, we're a wider relational network. So with the other teams in our areas and around the nation, we regularly keep contact with each other. We cheer each other on. We pray for each other. We learn from each other, because it can be tricky. It can be hard work. And it's great to have new teams joining us with lots of energy. And it's great to have older teams and people who've been there and lived through things to give some wisdom. So as well as our cornerstones, we have five distinctives, which help us know what we look like. The first one is that we're incarnational. So we live out our faith in community. We're not coming to do a project and then disappearing again. We make our lives part of the community. We do things with our community rather than for them or to them. We are countercultural. So we want to be relevant, but we also want to stick out, because that's what happens when we follow Jesus. We want to be different, and we want to show that there's another way in living our lives as we follow Jesus in all kinds of things that happen as they do day in, day out. As well as being held culture, we want to be purposeful. Some people, when we started, were like, "What do you do all day? Just expecting me to maybe just sit in my house with a cup of tea, expecting people to knock on the door?" But we plan, we work out where's the opportunities for us to share the gospel, where are the opportunities for us to get to know people, to serve our community, to show God's love, to make disciples. So we're purposeful. And we're relational. So we want to get to know people on a deep level. We want to be part of each other's lives through the ups and the downs, through all kinds of things. And I'm sure this week will bring things in our own community and things here that we'll need to be part of. And as well as being relational, we want to be holistic. So we talked about wanting to reach young people, but we want to reach the entire family, individuals, older people, young people. And we want to see our communities changed in terms of the health, education, housing, the environment, as well as people coming to faith and discovering Jesus for themselves. So they're the things that make an Eden team look like an Eden team, even though we're different. And we talk about three different types of people who join an Eden team, and they all start with R, remainers. And they're people who've grown up there, they get it. They're part of the community already. So on our estate, we had a lady called Annie who raised her family on our estate. And for her, it was quite difficult. She had to stick a flag up and say, I'm with these crazy lot. People knew that she was a Christian, but she stepped out even more to start sharing the gospel with people that she'd lived alongside for many years. But she kind of knew and could open loads of doors and gateways for us, and that was amazing. We have returners, people who maybe lived in the area for a while or at some point grew up there, have moved away, and God has called back. And we also have relocators, people who may otherwise have chosen to live somewhere else, and God said, this is where I want you to be. All those people make up our teams. And our teams evolve over the years, and the aim is to see our teams help to grow and strengthen local church on mission, reaching their local community and making disciples who make other disciples, and see the community transformed and God's kingdom come. And as that happens, not only do we see our neighbours change for Jesus and people saved, we change ourselves. Our faith grows. Kind of looking back at all the people who've been part of Eden over the years, even if they're not part of a team now, their faith is alive and they're doing incredible things. It affects all of us deeply. And it really builds momentum with other teams as well. As we kind of plow into our local areas, it kind of inspires other teams, and it really helps make a difference, not just where we are locally, but nationally and overseas too. And for me and Sarah, we've had a long journey. Eden's kind of been something I've been aware of since a little boy. I heard Andy Hawthorne talk as a teenager and thought, yeah, that just makes sense. Of course I'd want to live in a places like he's talking about when I leave home. And Sarah and I, we had a word of prophecy before we got married that we'd zigzag throughout Africa until we found the community of our calling. So we spent a lot of time in Africa, ended up in Kenya for a while, and we thought that was it. We'd zigzag through Africa, and then we realized God was calling us all the way back to sunny Manchester, to our little estate. So hopefully that's given you a bit of a flavor. I'm going to just show you a video now. I'm not sure which one it is. Can we choose, or have you chosen for us? Okay, so we've got a testimony from someone called Sam and Jenny. Both of them live on our estate back in Manchester. Who do we want to hear from? Jenny. Okay, let's go with Jenny. Thanks.
I was walking through the estate, and I walked past the den, and it was an opening day. And from that moment, I just felt like a bond with them. And what they did and how they did it, the fact that it weren't just like a Christian job, but they were really, this is mission work for them. And seeing them put that into practice, having kids and going to the same schools as our kids and not everything, and really stepping out in faith. Eden Mersey Bank, I absolutely adore them. I don't necessarily like to put the name Eden, because they're not just Eden to me, they're personal friends, each and every one of them. They are family to me. Started volunteering at the Den Cafe, and I really, really enjoyed that. I was learning more about Jesus, the Bible, about going to church, not just through a traditional way, actually connecting with it. And it was Steve who got in touch with me a little bit later and said there's a discipleship and job going at the Mess Cafe at the MEC. And it weren't necessarily the job that got me, it was the hearing about the discipleship And it just switched it, my faith up totally. I was surrounded by people who'd been through the same stuff. Eden and that place and all that has done for me is what I take and gets me strengthening my relationship with Jesus. There's just such a deep peace about everything. That no matter what happens, there's a deep peace. And that's because God's surrounded me with amazing people who stepped out of the boat to help, to go out and do these things and to do it in real life situations. And then he put me in a place with people who were doing the same journeying together and providing the tools to equip me for walking with Jesus properly. And Monday to Sunday, 24/7, not just on a Sunday. And I'm so grateful for that, and I thank God for that every single day.
Great, so that's Jenny's story. I saw Jenny yesterday. But in terms of practical how a team starts, so part of my job is visiting wonderful churches like yourselves, explaining what Eden is, and then there's a process of getting to know each other and discerning whether this is something that God's in, and looking at focus areas and things like that, and talking with your church leaders as well as yourselves. And then really, once that's kind of been agreed and it looks like it's going to happen, we need to find at least six people who say, yeah, I already live in this area, or I'm willing to move to this area and be part of the team, which is a big deal. We don't take that for granted. We're so thankful for hundreds of people who've done that over the years. And then together we find a team leader, and we invest in our team leaders and our teams, and we meet regularly both within Sheffield and Yorkshire, and also nationally as well with other teams, to kind of just support each other through that process. So that's roughly how things get going. We kind of share for the first few years some of the financial burden, and it's a long-term thing. We've kind of heard about the Queen this morning, and that longevity actually is what makes all the difference when we commit to an area over many years. So my question is really for you to wonder and think about, is this for your church? Is this something for you? What is God saying to you? And a question I try and ask regularly, and our church back home, is what's the best thing we can do to advance God's kingdom in this place? And if Eden happens to be one of it, then we're here. I'll hand back to Andy or Jonathan. Thank you so much.